Did you start, Steve? Okay, Steve started. So you can turn to Romans chapter 1. And of course, you know I've been studying Romans, so I have a lot of ammunition. But if you would title this teaching, it would be, Oh, How God Loves Us. That's the theme of it. That's what we're going to look at. But we're going to start in chapter 1, verse 16, which is an incredible little section. It says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And this is a great little section on the power of God and His word and believing. Because the gospel, the good news, the joyful message of God concerning Jesus Christ is the power of God when we believe it. And, you know, from the very first of, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, whenever God has issued His word and people have believed, they've seen the power of God come to pass. Doesn't change. So when we have the word of God and we believe it, it can issue in and does issue in God's promises, God's word. Whatever He says will come to pass if we believe it. And it's the power of God, the dunamis, the Greek word dunamis meaning potential power. It is the power of God, and it is unto salvation, which is deliverance. And the word deliverance can mean numerous things. It's the word soteria in Greek. It means deliverance, salvation, wholeness. And it just depends on what the circumstances are or the context where it's used. Here it's deliverance according to what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. So, and it's to everyone that believes, Jew and Greek, which takes in everybody. You know, it's to those that were Jews, Israel, and those that were not Jews. Whoever believes, and they believe God's word, they see the power of God, and they can receive deliverance, salvation. That's a pretty good thing, isn't it? It's, you know, in the Old Testament, there were promises, and they were just to Israel. Now in the New Testament, we have promises to us, His children, and they're pretty great. They're very great, and they're very specific. And God has told us what He's done for us, how He's done it, what we have, who we are. Then it goes on to say in verse 17, For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from believing, from faith to faith, or believing to believing, as it is written, the just shall live by believing. For therein is referring to the gospel. You know, for therein, in what? In the gospel is the righteousness or the justice of God revealed. God's a righteous God. He's a just God. He does what He says He's going to do, doesn't He? And He doesn't do what He says He won't do. You know, like in the very beginning or, you know, down the road a little bit with Noah, God said He would never again flood the earth and kill everybody. People in Texas might be debating that right now, but it didn't flood the whole earth, did it? He'll never again flood the whole earth. Sometimes you see science fiction movies and they say, you know, predict these floods that are going to flood the whole. Well, God's already promised that that won't happen. He said it won't. So, for therein, the gospel, the good news, the justice of God is revealed from believing to believing. God is a just God. You know, sometimes in society, people are unjust, aren't they? Even the government authorities or the police or the judges or whoever, they're not always just, are they? You know, and we know really from the Word of God that life is not fair. Everybody always talks about fairness. Well, life is not fair. You know, if you're short, you probably think it's unfair that you're not tall. And if you're tall, you may think it's unfair that you're so tall. You know, JJ and I, you know, we never had a bed we fit in. My feet always hang over the end. Try to get shoes or socks or shirts when you're tall or when you're big, right? It gets harder. Life's not fair. Some people are more prone to some things than the other. Steve Donovan gets hay fever. Why? I don't know. Life's not fair. Everybody should get hay fever, shouldn't they? Or everybody should not get hay fever. You know? Let's even the playing field here. Life's not fair. That's the way it is. But you know what evens things up? God. God is just. God is fair. You know, if there's one thing in life that's fair, it's God. He's a just God. And it says here that the righteousness of God, the justness of God, is revealed from faith to faith, or believing to believing. And what that is talking about is the foundation of believing, which our foundation of believing is Jesus Christ. It says that Jesus Christ is our foundation, right? He's the chief cornerstone. Everything that we believe is based upon what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. He's the one that brought about our ability to have from God. And so we believe on Jesus Christ. And then that when we believe on Jesus Christ, then that produces believing. We can believe, you know, what God says about us as sons of God. We can believe the promises of God. And then it says the just. And who's just?
We are.
We are, because it says that God has made us just. He's the God is just, and it says he is the justifier of them that believe. So who made us just?
God,
which is the same word as righteous. And it's according to God's standard that we are righteous, that we are just. That's pretty great, isn't it? God has made us that way. And so it says the just are to live by believing. We're to live by believing. We're to live according to the promises of God and believe him. And that, you know, that means that we are to put aside our sense knowledge, reasoning, and understanding and everything else. And first and foremost, we are to believe God. That's really what it's talking about. God has revealed to us his justness, and he has given us a foundation for believing, and therefore we are to live by believing. There's no ifs, there's no ands, there's no buts, there's no excuses. We believe God. We believe his word. We do what he asks, and it says that when we do what he asks, we'll see his power and his deliverance. It's pretty great. Now, is everything going to be perfect our whole life? Are we going to live forever? Yeah, we are, but when Christ comes back, we're going to live forever. Until then, you know, we have to deal with the things of the world, and the way we deal with them is to believe God. Okay, and so why does God do this? Why does God make this available to us? Well, because he loves us. Let's go to John chapter 3. And I think one of the things that really can help us is when we understand that God loves us. You know, when somebody loves you, you have a different expectation, don't you? You know, when somebody loves you, you have an expectation that they're going to take care of you, to bless you, to help you, to forgive you, to overlook your shortcomings, to do their best for you. And that's really what love is all about, isn't it? That's really what love is all about. You know, that you, if you love somebody, you take care of them, you watch over them, you do your best for them. And, you know, if they love you, they do the same thing, right? Okay, in verse 16, it says, for God, chapter 3 of John, everybody knows this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a pretty unbelievable, you know, you see this on placards and posters and people talk about it, but you know, the depth of what this says and the greatness of what it says is unbelievable, because God gave his only Son to us. He gave them as a sacrifice for us. It's pretty crazy. Because he loved us. He gave the ultimate sacrifice because he has the ultimate love. He gave the perfect sacrifice because he has the perfect love. God just loves us. I'm confident in that love. It's a lot easier to believe what he says. Right? Isn't it? When you really are convinced that God loves you, it's easier. And, you know, it's funny because a lot of times religion teaches sin consciousness, that God's going to pound you if you don't behave. And that's not at all what the Bible says. It doesn't say, it says the exact opposite. Let's read verse 17. For God sent his son into the world, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, is the whole world going to be saved? No. But he didn't send his son to condemn them. They're already condemned, right? Adam took care of that. Adam made it so that everybody that's born is condemned unless they come to God. And God sent his own son not to condemn, but to save. There's a big difference, right? He didn't send so that if you don't believe, he could bang you over the head. He sent him to save. You know, if you go back and look, like in Jeremiah chapter 36, I think, it's the one where Jeremiah writes the scroll and he takes it to the king and the king rips it up and burns it. But right in the beginning, it says God's given this information to Jeremiah so that Jeremiah can save Israel. You know, he gives it so he could save them, not so that, because otherwise they're going to go into captivity, which they did. But he didn't send it to screw them up. He sent it so that they would be saved. That's always God's intention. The reason he sent prophets. Now, the prophets would yell at people. They would reprove them. They'd say they were screwed up. But then they'd say, come back to God and he'll forgive you. That was always the message. That was always God's intent, to save people, to bring them back, to prosper them, to bless them. Let's go to Psalm 103. This is an incredible psalm. And it's written to Israel. So it's better for us, but it just shows you the heart and intention of God. And we're going to start in verse 8. Verse 8 of Psalm 103. Got to say that loud and clear so everybody gets the right number. Okay, everybody's there. Good. The Lord is merciful and gracious. What is that? We had our camp on grace, right? Grace is God's undeserved favor, his love towards us, his favor. And then it says he's merciful. Merciful, well, number one, it means that he doesn't give us what we really deserve, which is a smack in the butt, or worse. But it also means that he's giving aid. He wants to help in time of need. He wants to provide what he can to us to help us. So God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He's abundant in his mercy towards us. He overlooks our shortcomings and he looks to help us. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He does at times get angry at man for his stupidity. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Think about that. He has not dealt with us after our sins, and he has not rewarded us according to our iniquities. Every time we make a mistake, every time we sin, you know, he gives us a demerit, or he sends a flood, or he causes us to be sick. You know, people think like that, don't they? Something goes wrong in their life, and they think, what did I do to God? Well, You didn't do anything to God. God loves you. He wants to help you. There's a devil, and he tries to screw with you. He tries to mess with you. But God does not deal with us. He does not reward us according to our iniquities. He's merciful and gracious. They're opposites. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Wow. How great is his mercy? How far does outer space go? You know, and how, you know, where's the heaven of heavens where God resides? Billions of light years away. I mean, it's as far as we can't even imagine. It's beyond our comprehension. That's how far away he has put, or that's, you know, how great his mercy is toward us who fear or respect or in awe of God. As far as the east is from the west. How far is the east from the west? It's infinitely far, because if you keep traveling east on the globe, you're always going east. You never get to the west. And if you're going west, you never get to the west. You're always going west. You know, it just keeps going. So far hath he removed our transgressions from us. That's how far they are. That's how far he's moved our sins, our transgressions. Transgression is really, it means overstepping the law. That's really what it means. You transgress, you cross over the line. That's really what it is talking about. If you had no law, there would be no transgression. See? Now, what kind of law do we have? Well, we have the law of the love of Christ in our hearts. Like as a father pitieth his children, and the word pitieth is really the word loveth. As a father loveth his children, so the Lord loveth them that fear him. He loves us. He just loves us. Now, when you have a child and they do something wrong, do you correct them? Yeah. But you still love them, right? And really the reason you correct them is because you love them. Because you don't want them to get hurt, or you don't want them to put themselves in a bind. For he knoweth our frame. He knows our frame. He knows our makeup. He knows us. He remembereth that we are dust. Means, you know, we're not here for very long, and when we die, we go back to dust. From dust you are made, and dust you will return. That's why, you know, I call my wife Dusty.
No, you don't.
No, I don't. Okay. Couldn't resist that. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. Let's go back to the beginning of this chapter, or this psalm. See, God loves us. He separates us. He puts aside our sins. He has mercy towards us. He loves us. He watches over us. And he understands our weaknesses. He knows us inside and out. He knows us better than we know us. He does. He just knows us better than we know ourselves. It's like Ford knows the car better than the car knows itself, because he designed it, right? Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And that means praise. Praise the Lord. Praise his holy name. With everything you have, we are, you know, the psalmist here praises God. Then it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. It doesn't say to remember all his benefits, but it says don't forget them all. You know, and if we don't remember anything else, we can remember that he loves us. He loves us so much we can never fully understand. But he loves us. He loves us that much. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? He forgives them all. He forgives all our iniquities. Can you sin so bad that he won't forgive you? No. You know, now from a human point of view, sometimes that's hard, isn't it? Because people could do things to us and we could say, I'll never forget you did that to me. Or, you know, we hold it, which is a bad thing to do. If we're to be imitators of God, which it says in Ephesians, we should be forgiving. And no matter what people do to us, we should forgive. But sometimes we look at the world and we look at things that people do and we say, that's unforgivable. You ever use that term? That's unforgivable. Yet, it says God forgiveth all our iniquities. You imagine forgiving Hitler. God could forgive him if he asked. That's kind of crazy when you think about it, isn't it? The worst person that ever lived, God could forgive him if they went to him with meekness and humility and asked for forgiveness. He would forgive him because he forgives all iniquities. All is how much? All. So the worst thing you could do, God will do what? Forgive it, yeah. Amazing. He forgives all thine iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Wow. You know, sometimes I think about, you know, if I was talking to somebody and they thought they knew God, I'd say, well, just name five things you know about God. I bet a lot of people that go to church, a lot of people that say they believe in God, wouldn't be able to do that. But, you know, right here we have about eight things we could say about God. He's loving, he's forgiving, he's tender, he's merciful, he's gracious, he's kind. You know? Yes. He knows everything. You know, he's just an amazing God. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. And then it goes on and says, he made all his ways known unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. He made himself known. And he makes himself known unto us, doesn't he? He lets us know. And one of the things he lets us know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, beyond all question, is that he loves us, that he has forgiven us, that he cares for us, that he would do whatever he can to bless us according to his word. What a great God. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. What an incredible God. Why would you not want to believe in God? You know, think about it. If you're an atheist, what have you got to look forward to? A dirt sandwich. That's all you have to look forward to. You know, it's just 80 years at best or 100 years at best, and then death. That's all you have. We have so much more to look forward to. What a great God. Chapter 4, verse 7. This is again from David, the one who wrote that psalm. Verse 7, it says, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. You know, are our iniquities forgiven?
Yep.
Then we're blessed. We're blessed. And whose sins are covered. I told you what, iniquities are, you know, doing the wrong thing. Sins are missing the mark. That's what the word sin literally means. It means to miss the mark. You know, you're shooting at the bullseye and you shoot it over there. It's like me hitting a golf ball. I'm aiming that way and it goes that way. It's missing the mark. And it says, are covered. And this word covered means, like it's at the bottom of the deepest part of the sea. That's what it means. That's what that word covered means. At the bottom of the deepest sea. That's pretty covered, isn't it? But, you know, we have more than that. This part of Romans is speaking in terms of mankind, but it says of us that our sins are purged by the blood of Christ. They're cleansed. They're washed away. They don't exist anymore. They're done with. So that's even greater than forgiven. That's even greater than covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He doesn't impute sin. He doesn't credit sin to our account. That's what impute means. It doesn't put it, you know, he doesn't have a book up there for JJ and says, okay, here's a good deed, here's a sin. Here's a good deed, here's a sin. Then at the end of the week he goes, uh-oh, he's got five sins and only two good things. I'm going to screw around with him. That's not what God does. He doesn't credit our sin to us. He doesn't reckon it. He doesn't account it to us. Because it's purged. It's washed away. It's done. What a great God. We should love God because he loves us. And we can believe God because he loves us. Let's go to chapter 5. I did all this so I could teach these next couple of verses. Because it's just so cool. It shows the love of God in such an incredible way. Chapter 5. Verse 6, it says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Who was without strength and who was ungodly? Us. And God still sent his son to die for us. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. You know, if you knew somebody was righteous, you might possibly think about dying for him. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die, might possibly even take a chance on dying for a good man. There's a slight possibility. Then it says, but God commendeth his love toward us. And this is the central verse here. God commendeth, he shows us, he displays his love towards us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So when we were weak, when we were ungodly, Christ died for us. When we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9, much more than, or more importantly than, being now justified by his blood, by the blood of Christ, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. We're saved from the wrath. You know, it's so funny, Christianity again, so many people think that we're going to go through the wrath. Every time something happens in the Middle East, there's all these new books come out. This is it. This is the end. Armageddon. The end of the world's happening. We're saved from the wrath. We're saved from the wrath. You know why? God loves us. Why, if he loves us, why would he want us to go through the wrath? That doesn't make sense. Okay, verse 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You know, we were enemies, and yes, he reconciled us by the death of his son. So, when we were ungodly, Christ died for us. When we were sinners, Christ died for us. When we were enemies, Christ died for us. And we received life by his life. Isn't that incredible? God has displayed his love towards us. And while we were all these things, he was still willing to let his son die so he could redeem us, so he could save us, so he could reconcile us, so he could bring us back into his family. How loving is God? Beyond comprehension. You know, he just loves us with a pure and perfect love. And because of that, we become confident in that love. We can believe him. If we just have the confidence, the trust in him, we can believe him. What a great thing. You know? We were without strength. We were ungodly. Christ died for us. We were sinners. Christ died for us. We were enemies. Christ died for us. Doesn't matter what our condition was, how bad we were, Christ died for us. And because he died for us, our sins are purged. We're reconciled. His blood has cleansed us. We're made whole. pretty great. Let's go to chapter 8. So when you get to chapter 8, and you read this, you can say, wow, this is great. Verse 28. And we know that all good, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. You know, no matter what situation comes up in life, no matter what situation you have to deal with, what circumstances, all things work together to good to them that love God. God can work it out. He can make it good. He can change it. He can turn lemons into lemonade. He can fix a flat tire. Whatever you need, God can make it positive. All things work together for good to them that love God. Then it goes in verse 38, it says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can we be separated from God's love? No. So why be afraid to ask God when you need something? Why doubt that God won't take care of you and fix it? Why doubt that God loves you? Why doubt that, you know, something goes wrong in life and you think, God's punishing me? Why would you think that? He loves you. He'd never punish. He just doesn't do that. So we can go to God with confidence, with trust, with believing, and we know that he loves us. Now, if you go to him and you pray and you ask him for something, does he have to give it to you?
No.
Only if it's what he says he'll do. If it's not, he could tell you yes or no. He told Jesus Christ no, didn't he? Jesus Christ asked. God said, well, that's not the best way. This is the way. And Jesus Christ said, okay, I'll do it. Just leave it alone. All right. What does it say on there?
Neutrality.
Yeah, just hit green and then hit the red and just turn it off. Thank you. Okay, so nothing can separate us from God's love. God loves us. So could you sin so much that God will stop loving you? No. Could you do something so horrible that God would stop loving you? No. Can't. There's nothing you could do that could stop God's love, could cut off God's love. You know, now we can cut off loving him. You know, we can do that. We cannot receive his love. We could do that. But that's awful stupid. And that's our stupidity when we do that. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his, what kind of love? Great love. That's the Greek word mega. You know, you've heard of mega, right? Mega this and mega that. It means big. Big, great. For his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come, the word ages is eons, really is just a figure of speech meaning all eternity. For in ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches, not just the riches, not the exceedingly richness, but exceeding riches. That means above and beyond the riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You know, God speaks in these terms because it's really unfathomable. It's incomprehensible how much he loves us and how much he'll do for us and how much he cares for us. You know, it just, we don't have a clue. But, you know, you just got to start thinking that way, how much God loves you. If you just thought about and dwelt upon how much God loves you, you just wouldn't be able to get the smile off your face most of the time. Because he does. He just loves us so much. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. We're almost done. 1 John chapter 3. It says, behold, chapter 3, verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now, could we ever be worthy of being his sons? No, never. And yet, he loves us. So, who are we? We're his sons and daughters, right? We're his children. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Let's go to James, the book of James, Hebrews, James, chapter 1. So go back a little bit, right before Peter is the book of James. James chapter 1 and verse 12. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. A crown of life. I don't know exactly what a crown of life is. I just know I want it. You know, another place says we get a crown of righteousness. I don't know what they all are, but I just want one. I want them all because God promises them. He loves us and he's going to do for us the best he can do. You know, and so why should we believe God? Because he loves us. Why should we trust God? Because he loves us. Why should we do what he says to do in his word? Because we know that he loves us. You see? So why should I give in life? Because God says he'll bless us. Why should I speak God's word? Because he says he loves me and he wants us to speak his word. Why should I walk in love towards all the believers? Because God says so and he says he'll bless me for doing it. Why should I love people that are jerks? Because God says to. You know, I just should do the things that God tells me to do. Because he tells me to do it because he loves me. And if I know that he loves me, I know that whatever he says to do has to be good. Makes sense, doesn't it? Has to be good. So sense knowledge, it may not make sense. But God-wise, it makes all the sense in the world. Because God loves us. God loves us. When we were weak and ungodly, Christ died for us. When we were sinners, Christ died for us. When we were enemies, Christ died for us. Why? Because God so loved the world. And he loved us to save us. And he saved us so he could bless us. And blessed us with eternal life so he could show his kindness and his goodness for all eternity. What a great deal. So God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for blessing us, for taking care of us, for what a great and loving God you are, and that we can just put it into our heart, dwell upon it, and just think about how much you love us and how incredible our lives are because you have called us to be your own. And we just thank you for that. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he was so willing to do your will, to sacrifice his life so that we could be your sons. That no matter what we were, he made us your sons because you loved. And we thank you for this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.